Welcome to the Welsby Shift podcast, business and life coaching that works. We are Amanda Welsby and Emma Welsby, two sisters with one goal, to share tools that may help make navigating life easier. Who you are filters into everything you are and do, whether it be your work life or family life. We help to surface strategies that may assist you in finding ways that improve outcomes and make life and work feel a whole lot more manageable. In each podcast, we will discuss common life topics with insights that may help to make your life an easier place to be. Welcome to the Welsby Shift podcast. So Amanda, today we're going to be talking about perspective. Obviously, it's different for everyone. So could you give a summary from your point of view as to what perspective is?
Perspective is the position I hold right now. The position I hold in the way I see the world, both generally and specifically. So I can have a perspective on the world, which is that the foundation of the universe is love and people are inherently good. These are perspectives that I hold, for example. They're very general and broad. And then you can get into the more specific in terms of the perspective of how my experience of life right now, my experience of others right now, which may be very different than that general perspective that I choose to hold on the world. I think it's also important to note that my perspective isn't necessarily your perspective. Your interpretation of reality is not the same as mine. And yeah, we can talk a bit in a bit more detail about that. I think that some people will hold that they don't have a perspective even.
And that's an interesting one in itself as to how you can end up like that.
Yes. I mean, I think I would probably call that abdication. But I don't, a thought that I have kind of worked with for a long time is that there is no such thing as a neutral statement. And so I also think there's no such thing as a neutral perspective. You have an opinion, positive, negative, for good or ill, about everything under the sun, and that is your perspective. What do you think perspective is, Emma?
That's a good one. I think perspective is your view of the world through your lens, and your lens is impacted by your experiences from the past. So the way you were raised, like, so what your childhood was like. So your lens will be shaped by learning how your parents viewed the world. And I also think that your lens can be shaped by your own personal experiences, good or bad. So, you know, some people have layers of anxiety because of things that have happened to them, which makes their perspective of the world a bit different to somebody else who's not had those kind of traumas and experiences. And also, I think that people you know can influence your perspective as well. And I think we're seeing that in the world a lot right now, is that a lot of people are influencing other people in the way they view how things should be run and not run. So I think every individual has a very unique perspective, because no human experience is ever identically the same between millions of people.
No,
every person
that's
on the
unique.
planet has a unique experience. And I don't know how we've ended up in a situation whereby we kind of expect others to hold the same perspective as we do. And that sometimes it can be difficult to view things from a different angle. And I think some people are more open to the idea of different perspectives than others. And it's also interesting to me as to how people end up in those buckets as well. Why are some people more open and some people aren't?
So you're talking very, you're talking about in the more specific, perspective piece. If we take a step backwards and just a few steps backwards to the first point that I made about the perspective is in the general, like how I generally view the world. How do you think that comes to you? I think so. The reason I'm asking is that I think I've always generally had a positive view of the world. I've wanted to believe in good intent, positive intent. Even when my individual experience of the world right now is not that great, which would be true right now. And maybe it's more, that's actually, maybe it's more of a spiritual question to answer it for myself, right? What's within my spirit? What's my belief within my spirit about the way the world should be, perhaps? I don't know. Any thoughts?
It sounds like we're getting into the kind of nature nurture debate.
Yes.
Is your perspective because of just your nature, or is it because of what's happened along the way? It's a difficult one that you'll never be able to answer.
It is. Do you think that your view of the world is shaped more by intrinsic nature or by nurture then?
I think mine is nurture, definitely. I think I've inherited a lot of behavioral patterns, and I've had to work on perhaps viewing things more positively than they are.
And I would say the reverse. I'd say my view is more like nature, actually.
Interesting.
And here we are, both, raised in the same family system. Yeah,
So,
that's fascinating. So how does that show up in your life?
well, we get into the cup half empty and the cup half full. I think sometimes I can view it more empty than full, but I am aware of it. So I know that if I have negative perspectives on things, I always ask myself, how can I view it a different way? Because no way is the, it's not as simple as my way is the right way. And sometimes it can be horribly challenging when you're like, well,
Really.
actually, my default kind of sucks. And, sometimes you
It's
can
hard to
put it on
challenge
overdrive.
yourself. Sorry, it's hard to challenge yourself in that way. And sometimes it's even harder to be challenged by someone else, right? So I know that you and I have a relationship, Emma, where I can, I sometimes, I don't know if I've ever said this to you, but I'll say, oh, Emma's in her mind palace right now. Right? She's ruminating and spinning and she's in her room in her ivory tower or her turret or whatever it is, right? And she needs what she's asking for in a moment, when you'll say, Amanda, help me think through this, you're actually asking to be guided out of your mind palace.
That's exactly it. But to my credit, I know that I'm in the mind palace because I know it's like scatty thinking and I just need to like get back on the straight and narrow again.
And what a gift that is to know for the most part when you're in that space. So, yeah, I think my nature perspective, I do think it's part of an intrinsic sense of being part of something bigger than me, which goes to the spiritual side of me. And that shows up in my life. I think it's a very, for the most part, it's a very positive thing that I show up that way. On the downside, I think it also means that I can be taken advantage of too. If I'm like, I will always give someone the benefit of the doubt, whereas other people definitely have demand that kind of benefit of the doubt is earned first, right?
Yes, I think we're quite different in that way.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it colors our perspectives in the way we do life,
Yeah.
right? And probably the way we do work too.
Exactly. I mean, there's no set way of doing things. I think there's benefits and no benefits to both ways of doing things. You probably will chance upon things more than I will because I'm too guarded. But equally, you can maybe perhaps be taken advantage of because your
Yeah.
perspective
And
is that
I'll tell you how that works very practically.
way.
I will give away far too much. I'm not just talking about my of myself, but my knowledge, my economic value in the past, for sure. And one thing I've had to learn the truth of, I've always intellectually known it, but I had to, connect it to my heart as well, is that what is not paid for is not appreciated.
That's exactly right.
Which sounds like a very mercenary statement to me. It really does. But it's true. And so that's one very specific way in which I've had to brim my expansive altruistic worldview and come around to a perspective that also says, Amanda matters too.
Wow, okay. So what do you think changes a perspective?
Let's rewind a little bit on that one too, though, to so I think that your perspective sometimes reflects who you are and what's important to you. But there's a couple more parameters that I actually want to bring up here. I mean, you mentioned family systems, right? So, a couple of parameters here that maybe, our family systems are reflective of is like, so, as you said, do you see the world from an optimistic perspective or more pessimistic? And I think we're opposite in that way. We've just talked about that. Another two are, for example, are you someone that gains your perspectives from gathering knowledge and thinking that those data points through and drawing conclusions? Or are you someone who is makes decisions more based on kind of gut instinct and intuition about the world?
Now, let me tell you. So, helping people grow their businesses, right? They're either in one camp or they're in the other camp. I'm like Mrs. Data driven 100% the whole way. Does the data say we should do it or not? And then there's other people that goes, well, I feel like we should do that. And I'm like, well, hang on a minute. Like, we've got to use our heads here. And personally, I find it easier working with other people who are like me, who are like, well, the graph says this or the survey says that. And I struggle to work with people who have an emotional perspective on making decisions. And I think in business, like, I do think it can impact what happens. I very rarely see a gut instinct go well.
Okay.
But I always see a data-driven project go well.
So the nature of your business is very, it's kind of black and white. It's very data driven, right? Web marketing.
Yeah.
Yep. How do you think that your way of dealing with the world, knowledge gathering versus gut instinct, might be different in your personal life? Because I suspect they might be.
Well, yes, exactly. I was kind of thinking the same thing. So I think in your home life, it becomes a lot more difficult because your emotion is involved. Like when it's work, my emotions are not involved. But at home, it's a completely different investment because you have to give, there's give and take involved. In business, I think there's less give and take involved. Because money's being exchanged and there's a goal. I mean, that's not to say there isn't a goal in a personal life. You want a functional relationship and a functional family, don't we all?
But you're less intentional about that sometimes, I think.
You can't really dish up a graph to your partner, right? It doesn't work.
You could try, Emma. It's a strategy.
I might give it a go. But yeah, so it's a lot more emotionally driven, and I think sometimes it's harder to be eloquent in what it is you're trying to say when your emotions are involved as well. And again, it's like all your traumas can leak into that. I feel like trauma doesn't leak into work as much, perhaps, but it leaks more into your personal life, perhaps.
Definitely does. I'm sure it leaks in both places, but definitely more personal. So it's interesting. I kind of look at this. I have a different perspective. It's not, yours is yours and mine. We're both entitled to our perspectives. How about that, Emma? There's another concept.
Get out
Anyway,
of here.
so I work in corporate America, and everything, especially, oh my gosh, the last 10 years, maybe a bit less, with the rise of supercomputing, and now, of course, AI. So data and metrics driven that we want the quantitative assessments on everything. And I think the huge risk of what's happening right now is that we're missing the qualitative aspect, the human aspect of decision making and what we need to do. Unless I can measure it in binary terms, it has no validity. That is what I am hearing over and over again, right? And there is a fundamental difference and a rebalancing that is needed, I think, definitely in the workspace between data and metrics, that perspective, and the insights you need to draw from them. And some of these, and some further than that, some of these insights that you need to draw may be based on your data, on raw data. But wisdom does not come only from raw data. So they talk about, I should be able to name this model, and I can't off the top of my head right now. But they talk about the progression of wisdom as starting with, data, followed by information, followed by knowledge, followed by wisdom. And I think that our focus in our work lives right now is at pure data. And maybe, information, like first level inferences that you can draw from the data. But that the knowledge, and particularly the wisdom that you can draw from that, ultimately is much more qualitative and requires human interaction with that to draw the perspectives, the holistic perspectives that you need to make good decisions. And I see the reality of this at work, almost on a regular basis, let's just say that. I've seen it recently in hiring and firing decisions. where people fired, an entire, or let go, reorganized an entire group, made that group went away, and now they're suffering the consequences. Was there any real wisdom that went into that decision?
Exactly. I can think of a very simplistic example of this that's been going on near where I live. So they collected the data about how many people died with cars driving at 30 miles an hour. And then they collected the
In
data.
cars or in because they were run over.
I think it's a bit of both. How
Okay.
many deaths overall? And then they ran the figures again at people doing 20 miles an hour. And then, of course, because the cars are going slower, the number of deaths dropped because people just have more time to sort things out, and more thinking time. So, but then you could look at the data again and say, well, if we drop from 20 to 10, there'll be less deaths yet again. But you get to the point where it's like, okay, nobody's actually managing to go anywhere faster than walking pace. And it's really annoying people because it's like all the decisions have been made on the data, but actually it's just not practical. It's not how life is running right now. We're trying to go faster at making the world turn instead of going slower.
Yeah, ironic, isn't it? That the horse and buggy, I think I read somewhere in connection, or maybe you said it, Emma, it's actually faster to go somewhere on your bike than to get in your car at 20 miles an hour.
Well, yes,
Because.
there was a cycling race, and they had to put a diversion on it because they realized that the cars that go with the bikes to make sure that the bike riders are okay are going to be setting off all the speed cameras because they're going to be faster than 20 miles an hour. It's ridiculous. So
Oh
that's
my
when data's
gosh.
gone crazy and the brain is just unplugged.
Right. And perspectives are so, in fact, clouded. The antithesis, you're using all this data thinking you have all of the knowledge and the wisdom, and actually, you're making decisions from a perspective that is so clouded that you are hurting yourself in the end.
Yeah. So whilst I'm
Yep.
like Mrs. Data, I do agree with you that there needs to be the human aspect of it. And I do agree that AI could be a problem with this because we're removing all the thinking.
Yeah. So here's another parameter for you in terms of perspectives. Some people like to conduct their lives in a very organized and ordered way, and other people prefer to be more kind of go with the flow, spontaneous. Those are two very different perspectives. I think I do something in between. I like spontaneity.
And part, I think it can all be partly driven by nature and partly driven by nurture as to why you end up the way you are. If you, for example, were brought up in quite a controlled environment and you hated it, you're going to go the other way with your own life,
Or not,
potentially.
you might double down even further, right? So, yes, I know that some people who have been raised in very controlling households, they live what they learned. And then others, like you say, will go completely the opposite direction and
So it's interesting because I think when we talk about perspective, people have the opinion that it's my perspective, it's mine. But actually, how much of it is yours? How much of it has been influenced by others? And that is why we have to be really careful about what our own perspective is, and we have to double check it.
absolutely. Yes. How much of your perspective is adopted because of the influences of, environmental circumstances versus having actually thought it through for yourself?
And that's quite a scary thought because for me anyway, there's like a security in knowing that your perspective is the right one. Like what I believe is true. This keeps me safe. And I think for me, it's when you're like, Well, that thing that keeps me safe, which is my perspective, I'm now having to double check that that's actually right. So then you're kind of having to lean on other people to help you with your perspective and trust that they will help keep you safe.
True.
And
Yeah.
that's quite a
And
messy thing to do.
I think that part of that is about trusting your neuronal capacity to draw conclusions, to take different perspectives, right? Honor the validity of them and derive your own. And I think that part of the state of that the world's in right now is that people have abdicated that responsibility to get out of their own echo chambers, right? See what other perspectives might be, and then draw their conclusions. I think we'd do a lot better if we did. So what changes perspectives then? I mean, I know I have some ideas about that.
I think when you're receiving messages and your perspective doesn't like them, there's that old mantra of respond, don't react. So I know for a fact that I can have a knee-jerk reaction when I don't like something that goes against my perspective and go, nope, shut it down. And then, if I respond to it, it takes me a bit of time to go away and think about it and assess the merit of it. And then
Yeah.
perhaps it would swing me back round. But I know that for me personally, if somebody comes to me with a different perspective, I am open to it. And I would say a lot of the time, I will go away and think about the validity of it based on what facts I can read about it and check perspectives elsewhere. I kind of
Right.
do the knowledge gathering thing and then come back and go, okay, you might have something there. And
Yeah.
that's just me. I know that's just me. So how about for you?
So for me, I think some of it is I'm probably a much more instinctual person. And my initial conclusions are drawn from kind of a feeling about it. And I am probably more reluctant than you are to go and do my own research. I'm just owning it, right?
Wow, okay.
But I have learned that I absolutely have to. And so for me, it's important to say, you know what, let me take a step back. Let me think about that. When I say let me think about that, I'm realizing what I actually mean is let me feel about that.
Yes.
That's what I mean. Let me feel about that for a while. And then, in the process of feeling about that, I hope that over my 50 odd years, I've become, no, I know I have. Give yourself some credit, Amanda. I have gone and done some more research and fact finding and information gathering that you speak of, Emma, in order to inform how I feel and then think about something. I have to be very intentional about thinking. I do. I'm a very
Oh, wow.
gut instinct person. And so that's something that I've had to take account of when I'm considering my perspectives on things. I think another thing that's really important in perspectives is like literal location. So I was recently in the UK and I was there for quite a while, and I was reading the same news headlines from the same news sources, and I have a quite I choose to have a quite balanced input from news organizations. So, for example, I will read the Washington Post, which tends to be left-leaning, and I also read the Wall Street Journal, which is right-leaning. And I realized when I was in the UK that reading those headlines made what is happening in the US right now feel a whole lot worse from 4,000 miles away than it does when I'm actually here. And in really like processing that, I realized that this is about lived experience. So when I'm actually in the US and I am living the American experience, albeit from a very north suburb, honestly, very white perspective, I have to own my lived experience is very biased in certain directions too. But actually living it, I'm not experiencing it. The reality of these headlines in my world. And so I think that helped me minimize, perhaps, the severity of what's going on here. The other perspective on that is that when I am outside of the US and I'm looking in on it from 4,000 miles away, my lived experience is very British in that moment, which emphasizes or magnifies the terribleness of the headlines I'm reading about what's going on in the US.
So that's another interesting one about how perhaps sometimes your perspective also like protects you. So, when you're in it, it's like, oh, it's not that bad. When you're outside of it, it's like, it's terrible. And sometimes that's why they tell, some couples perhaps you need to just have a break from each other and live in separate houses because the location thing matters. Just be apart. You be over here and you be over here and then see how you feel.
Brilliant. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And is one right and is one wrong? No.
No, I think it's just with anything, it's important to look at it from all angles. So and it depends what the situation is. Sometimes it is. You've got to change location so you can see. Do you want to be here or do
Yes.
you want to be here? Do you want to be with this person? Do you not want to be with this person? Do you like it when this person's here more often than not? Or if you like it when they're away more than not, you have to test these things.
Which sounds like a strategy for how you can change your perspective. So I know we have talked previously about my tissue box analogy, right? How many sides does a tissue box have? It has six. If you actually look at the tissue box, you can see one side. If you pull it away from yourself, you can maybe see three, but you cannot see all six sides of a tissue box at the same time. Just because you can't see all six sides does not mean that the sides you can't see do not exist, right? And so, yeah, it's how do we get perspective so that we can. Not necessarily change. Maybe it's affirming our own perspective is right for us, but I think it's helpful to, it's always going to be helpful to acknowledge that there are perspectives other than our own that are equally valid. So, for example, I am never going to be black. I'm never going to be male. I'm never going to be Chinese. I'm never going to be many, many things. And so, while it's easy to say, for example, well, we have to learn how to walk in other people's shoes, and that is true, at the end of the day, there are many things for which I'm only ever going to be able to imagine walking in someone else's shoes. I will never know what it's actually like to walk in those shoes.
I think my Samaritan's experience was a massive eye-opener to perspective because I, you get an idea of what's who somebody is from what they've told you and how they view things so differently. Like there's some people in my mind, they seem to be quite highly successful in their careers. But yet there's stuff burning down underneath. And I'm like, wow, if I pass them in a supermarket, my perspective of that person is, wow, they're doing really well. And actually, they're not doing well at all. But it's just viewing the world through my lens.
That's
And the
right.
truth is always something else. And that's the biggest takeaway that I have from the Samaritans is it's never as it seems. Nothing ever is. You can judge a book by its cover all you want, but it never is what it seems.
And so it's actually like our lenses in our literal eyes, So, your lens in your eye hardens over time, right? And we end up needing readers to be able to focus properly, right? Well, I think we actually need, some different glasses to put on throughout our lives to help us see something that is different, right?
Exactly, and the beer goggles don't work.
No, absolutely not. Although they might help you see some consequences you might not otherwise have seen. But anyway, and so I think, what we're getting to here, Emma, is actually the need to hold what is known as liminal space. So liminal space is the space in between. It's the not knowing, it's the not concluding, it's holding that multiple things can be true at the same time. And I think actually a lot of the Enneagram work that I have done has absolutely helped me to understand how people see the world in different ways.
So, can you give a quick summary of what the Enneagram is?
So the Enneagram, Ennea is nine, means nine. And it's ancient wisdom about personality types. I use that term personality types with some difficulty because it's actually more about, so the word personality actually has origins in Latin that come from that mean mask, right? That your personality being the mask that you put on yourself and that you present to the world. Enneagram ultimately is actually about removing that mask and discovering what your true essence is, right? And Ennea means nine ways of seeing the world. And when you understand your way of seeing the world, which is where you start with Enneagram work, right? And you take off or you widen your own blinkers, right? To see where that is coming from and what it might actually look like. Because there's a huge difference between the way we see ourselves and the way other people see us. When you're able to get some of those insights, then you start to understand other people and where they're coming from, where they might be coming from, and navigate those. It reveals different perspectives to you and then enables you to navigate your world differently. And so this is a whole other podcast series, Emma, and maybe we'll do it sometime soon. But Enneagram ultimately for me is about understanding perspectives and the interplay between them.
It's an absolute shocker. When I read about it the first time, it was like a book that just laid out everybody I knew in a book. Oh, there's that person. And then all of a sudden I was like, wow, yeah, they really do see the world differently to me. And that was like shock horror moment. It's
And
incredible.
so, and yet so important for your own personal growth. How can you possibly grow as an individual if you cannot hold that not everybody is the same as you?
Bang, exactly.
So
Cool.
I think that's it for this week.
It's been a pleasure as always. I'll speak to you soon. Wait a second. So, Amanda, after we recorded the podcast, all of a sudden sent me a message saying something had happened to her today, which was all very relevant to perspective. So, take it away, I guess. Let's go.
Yeah, let's do it. After we recorded this morning, I had a one-on-one with somebody that I work with who was just getting their feet wet with their first interviewing experiences. That individual was interviewing other people for a role. And this was a new experience for that person. And we talked about how that went. And we had a 25-minute conversation all about interviewing and how our perspectives on people so strongly influence that dynamic and critically the outcomes. And so, what I wanted to add on to this was that clearly, there is a world of difference between how we perceive ourselves and how we are received by others. And in an interview setting, this comes out particularly strongly. It comes out in how I warm to you or not, which for me is about my feelings about you. Probably more than whether you're actually going to be any good for this role, right? If I get the warm fuzzies from you, I am more likely to be positive about what I'm hearing from you. You could be telling me that the sky's purple, but absolute nonsense. But if I feel good about you, I have a different perception of you. Versus if, for example, I'm interviewing you, and you take 20 minutes to answer the first question without taking a breath. I'm going to have a very, very different perspective on you and your fit for this particular job. But as the interviewee, if I talk for 20 minutes, presumably either this individual had no clue that that was a problem, right? Or she had no idea of how that would be received by somebody else.
And perhaps she thought it was going well because she had so much to say.
Maybe she did. The reality was, in the end, that we had this great conversation about, it was two sides. It was about how I need to navigate my initial reactions to individuals, my perspective on you, because some of the best people for the role you're looking for may not give you the warm fuzzies right away at all. And equally, the people that give you the warm and fuzzies might have nothing to offer you really whatsoever. And that's when you basically have a failed hiring process, right? So it's about me as an interviewer being aware of my own, it's almost like unconscious bias, that's what it is. And also being aware of how you as an interviewee are received by others. What are those patterns of behavior that you display that might actually harm you more than they help you? And I just thought, my goodness, what a great business, practical business example of the importance of perspective that fits with what we were talking about this morning.
And just being insightful about yourself, how you come across.
Yep, absolutely. I talked with this individual too about the need to detach from that. I'm a very feeling-centered person, and I have to very consciously engage my head into that equation, right? Which also helps with the art of detachment from the touchy-feely warm fuzzies, right? Other people are much more like headspace centered and less attuned to that, the warm fuzzies, if you like, and will ask much more direct, technically focused questions that I mean, then the downside of that is that then you don't get a feel for whether someone will fit with a team dynamic or not, right? So there's good and bad to both sides.
Yes, when I've done interviews, I'm more of a suspicious interviewer, so I'm looking to find where the holes and the gaps are in the knowledge. And then I get into the cultural fit in like interview two and three. But I'm much
Interesting.
more suspicious. It's like you could
My
be nice,
gosh.
but you might not be any use to me. You can be a friend, but not an employee.
Right. Isn't that fascinating that we come at it from different perspectives, Emma? Like, I'm definitely looking for that connection, that relational connection first. And so neither is right or wrong, but we just have to be aware that we need both to get a good sense of who someone is and how they are going to fit in our work lives, in our personal lives, whatever it is, right?
Exactly. Well, I love it. Thank you for sharing.
See you later. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening today. We really appreciate you. If you liked what you heard today, then please follow or subscribe to the podcast so that you won't miss any episodes. You can do this by going to the show page on your chosen podcast player and click the plus or follow buttons. If you like the podcast, please leave us a 5-star review and share with a friend. Don't forget to visit the website thewellsbyshift.com to find out more about our business and life coaching that we offer. And why not come to check out our blog posts, videos, and more? See you next time.